You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Kim Chandler McDonald, author of the internationally acclaimed Innovation, How Innovators Think, Act, and Change Our World. She is also the co-founder and flat world navigator at Kimmick, a company which specializes in adaptive approaches, leading-edge innovations, and robust technologies such as Flat World, a simple, secure, powerful platform for user-centered knowledge capture, collaboration, and capitalization. Kimberly, certainly a privilege to have you also coming to us from Australia this morning.
Good morning. It's a rainy day here in Sydney, but it's nice to be with you.
It certainly is, and I'm sure that sunshine will be coming out shortly. Now, how important is having a lean ethos to innovative entrepreneurship and equity ownership?
Well, Eric, to my mind, not enough attention is paid to the importance of equity from an entrepreneur's point of view. Unfortunately, too many entrepreneurs don't really understand how quickly they can become a minority owner of their idea, be it a product or a service, if they follow the traditionally prescribed way of finding capital, which is, you know, do some work, find some capital, do some more work, find some more capital, do some more work, and then look for an exit. And if you look at the numbers, for every Zuckerberg, there's at least 10,000 Suckerbergs. Entrepreneurs really need to be careful, otherwise they can lose control and lose the vast majority of their equity ownership. My husband and co-founder with Kimmick, Michael, we have a joke we share. We're both partners professionally and personally, and we say, you know you're lean when you understand that you have to bake bread to make bread. And by that, I mean, you know, you have to be willing to give up on a lot of niceties to be able to go all in on a venture, particularly one that you truly believe in, if you want to come out at the end of it still in control of your venture.
Well said in all regards. How different is your role as an author and an entrepreneur, and what were some of the challenges that you had to meet and master in those roles?
I think I need to make one point clear in that I am speaking as an author with a publishing house behind me, which does affect my answer to a point. That said, I think there are both differences and similarities. So with regards to having a publisher, I think the best thing about having a publisher is that they're the ones who get the product on the shelf. However, let's just say that the similarities outweigh the differences, I think, because both positions are about connecting, either with clients or customers, readers. Both of them have money and or business angles tied to the interactions, and they're in and around selling, in my case, selling myself or my product or my service. And a lot of the challenges are similar too. So, for instance, the to-do list for both includes, as I said before, making connections and developing relationships. Both of those roles need to have connection. You need to connect with influencers who are interested in what you're doing. It's a particular challenge for me, I think. Well, and for anyone here, because we're not living in major markets such as the US or the UK. So making those global connections is extremely important. You have to build a brand in both roles. So it's imperative that you know how to tell your story well, because, you know, it doesn't matter how brilliant the idea is that you have if no one's interested in hearing about it. Both roles need to have a marketing plan built. They need to work the marketing plan. It's very much, I think, for almost any role in the global digital economy, it's It's about making connections, making relationships, making authentic relationships that feel both real to both parties. So I think, yeah, for me, there's not a lot of difference. It, as I say, it may be because I live in Australia, and so I have to be very cognizant of reaching out from within the, what I call the big island to the rest of the world. But I'm very, very clear in that there is a great deal of gray in the difference between these roles. It's not a black and white situation.
And I can only understand now in an arena that is crowded with books about innovation, how do you differentiate yours from the others?
There are a number of ways. So firstly, I wanted the content of the book to work as a bridge between different industries, different interests, and different generations as well. So I took innovation as a central theme and explored a wide range of fields from business and technology, art and education, engineering, media, medicine, as many fields as I could find where I felt innovation played a part. And as well as that, the age range was very important to me because I felt that there were, frankly, there were generations of young people who hadn't been introduced to how imperative innovation is to them as individuals, as well as to us as communities and societies as a whole. So I made a point of encompassing an age range that went from teenagers to septuagenarians. And I think that spread was something that was quite different. And I think, enabled the content to stand out for a wide range of readers. I guess I saw myself as a conductor, and I had over 100 star soloists playing an innovation symphony. So my job was to allow each of them to shine while finding the through themes and melodies that connected them. And because I gave them a lot of freedom, I guess they were able to jam, if you will, keeping with the music theme. They were very, very frank and forthright in their answers, and they gave an honest account of what it is to be in the leading edge of innovation, which is an exciting place to be, but it's in no way as easy or as glamorous as it may, you know, look like from the outside. And secondly, early on in the process, I knew that I not only wanted to write about innovation, but I wanted to bring innovation into the process and the product. So to do that, Michael and I, we used the book as the first application of our flat roll technology. So we were able to make it an industry first. So my publishers, Kogan Page, published the print and ebook editions, and we published the enhanced edition online ecosystem, which includes over 100 extra interviews and some tools and techniques that are supported by our Flat World Tech. So essentially, the enhanced edition online ecosystem became a repository of some incredibly interesting information coming from these thought leaders. But it also captured the concept of user empowerment, engagement, and interactivity in an online ecosystem that uses the content as a focal point to create collaborations and insights around ideas and the capturing of knowledge and data. We did this by creating smart marks, which are our intelligent interactive bookmarks. And so I guess we wanted to highlight our passion for walking the walk of innovation as well as talking the talk. So along with all the content, the project was our way of telling the innovation story of Flat World and Kimmich. And you know, that encapsulates a number of years of work that Michael and I have put into making our technology what it is.
Outstanding. Certainly appreciate your breaking that down very well. Today we are joined by Kim Chandler McDonald, author of the internationally acclaimed book, Innovation, How Innovators Think, Act, and Change Our World, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Kim, can people become more innovative?
Absolutely. In that, people can do a lot of things to, and simple things, I should say, to increase what I call their IQ, their innovation quotient. So I guess if I was going to break it down to the ABCs of it, I'd say, A, always challenge the accepted wisdom of how to do things. When somebody says, well, the way it's always been done, stop. Stop that conversation and reframe, because the way it's always been done is not going to get you to an innovative solution. B, be open to constructive feedback and feed forward. The spark of innovation can come from anyone, anywhere, at any time. And C, collaborate and cooperate as much as possible. The cross-fertilization of experience and expertise equates to a greater likelihood of innovative success. I'm going to come back to the music theme, and this is one of the themes that ran through the book, actually, is looking at innovation in a way like jazz. So experts in their fields, let's say they're great saxophonists or great drummers. They love playing their instrument. They're experts at their instruments, and they love to play. But it's when they get together and jam that the real magic happens. It's that time of collaboration where the majesty happens. So, you know, I can't stress enough how important it is to be open to collaboration. My best advice probably would be to find your inner child and let him or her out to play. You know, kids are inveterate innovators. They're curious, they're audacious, they stick their fingers in things, their bravery is boundless. They try, they touch, they run, they fall, they get up, they fall down again, they get up again. To be childlike rather than childish is a great way to boost your NQ.
And lastly, with that being said, do you have another secret sauce or further that you're willing to share?
I do, actually. In general, I'd say, you know, you have to have skin in the game. You've got to go all in. You can't be half pregnant and you can't be a part-time entrepreneur. You either do it or you don't. This isn't a risk mitigation exercise. So I'm something of an advocate of burning your boats deliberately so the only choice you have is to move forward. But specifically, my secret sauce, and I suppose this speaks to my particular passion for empowering entrepreneurially minded women, I believe that there is an immense value in building and maintaining authentic relationships. Without embracing that skill, I would never have been able to reach the international thought leaders and innovators that agreed to be interviewed for my book, and much of our company's business development wouldn't have happened either. For instance, we're extremely proud to be part of the initial authoring of a leading-edge educational digital marketplace that's rolling out globally. And this would not be happening if not for me reaching out to one of the key stakeholders and building an authentic relationship with them. So perhaps the tastiest secret sauce I can share is this: embrace your inner Flat World Navigator. Now, I am the world's first branded Flat World Navigator, true, but there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Flat World Navigators out there. Flat World Navigators are those who use traditional and innovative tools, techniques, and technologies to connect and communicate. They build bridges, and in doing so, build business. You're a Flat World Navigator, Eric. flywheel navigators can be a key differentiator between businesses that want to thrive rather than just survive in the global digital economy.
Well, Kimmy, I appreciate all the insight and direction here. How about telling our listeners before you go where they can get more information about your book and where they can make the purchases online?
Absolutely. Well, as a flywheel navigator, believe me, you can find me all over the net. The book is available in a print edition, both on Kogan Page's website, but also through Amazon.co.com, pretty much anything you can find. You can also get the enhanced edition online ecosystem at www.flatworld.me. And there's a sample interview there. You can purchase it there. If you want to take a look at the Flatworld technology, you can find that on flatworld.co. And if you want to find me, you can get me at certainly my LinkedIn profile, but also at Kim Chandler on Twitter and at Kimmick Flatworld.
Kim, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to spend your expertise and insight with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
I did as well, and I'm sure the listeners can ditto that. We've been speaking with Kim Chandler McDonald, author of the internationally acclaimed innovation, How Innovators Think, Act, and Change Our World. She is also the co-founder and Flat World Navigator at Kimmick, a company which specializes in adaptive approaches, leading-edge innovations, and robust technologies such as Flat World, a simple, secure, powerful platform for user-centered knowledge capture, collaboration, and capitalization. And once again, the websites of reference is flatworld.co as well as flatworld.me. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.